With a heat wave on, it is time to broach the politics of keeping cool. First day of July, and already France and parts of Europe enduring their second spike in heat of this summer. From the shores of the Mediterranean, warmed by waters at 26 degrees Celsius on the French side of the Riviera, waters to the rooftop of Europe, Mont Blanc, where the mercury normally never goes above freezing this early in the summer. How to adapt to the new normal? With poorly adapted schools forced to shut, the far-right's Marine Le Pen advocates air conditioning for all. But AC begets higher energy consumption. And with the same far-right against wind farms and the pivot away from gasoline-powered cars, are we discussing here a basic necessity, or do alternatives exist? Here on the planet's fastest heating continent, Europe. We'll ask about France's claim that nuclear power is the carbon-free answer. Just look at the Golfech plant, located between Toulouse and Bordeaux in the southwest, forced to suspend activity because at 28 degrees Celsius, the Garonne River, its waters are too hot to cool the reactors. Today in the France 24 debate, how do you adapt to the high heat? With us, Paris City Councillor Alexandre Florentin of the Green Party. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
Yamina Saeb is president of the World Sufficiency Lab. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for the invitation.
And climate and energy-focused economist Thierry Bros, visiting professor at the French Political Science Institute, Sciences Po. Good to see you again.
Thank you.
He's escaped the heat of Paris for a different kind of hotspot. Architect Martin Duplantier, who's working on how to build back better war-ravaged Ukraine, joins our conversation. Thanks for being with us.
Good evening, everyone.
If you're on the go, this is a reminder, you can always listen to the show wherever podcasts are streamed. The Eiffel Tower shut through Wednesday. The top observation deck of the baking hot steel frame off limits since 2003, when 15,000 died in this country during a summer heat wave. Authorities try to leave as little as possible to chance, with air pollution peaking and more polluting models of cars banned from the French capital. The public transport network offering discount rates to commuters. The numbers of air-conditioned cars has climbed in the last two decades. Still less than half of them on the Paris metro, though.
Usually it's crowded, and we try to sit down to avoid getting even more tired.
There's a bit of aggressiveness, a little more than usual, and we're a bit crammed, so there are smells too.
Ah yes, the smells of the Paris metro. Yamina Saeb, before it was every time it was warm. Now it's kind of a lottery, right? Whichever, whether or not your train car is cooled or not.
Well, starting from now, we know that it will be warmer and warmer in the future. And what we are experiencing today is just an entry to what we will be experiencing in the future. And the temperature, it's going to become a norm and not an exception to have this kind of temperatures earlier in the year and during a longer period and with higher temperature. And we must prepare for that. There are two things we must do at the same time. We must work on reducing our emissions, which we are not doing well in this, and at the same time prepare our buildings, the way the society is organized. So, for example, this time, I think they should have called for, like they did for during the COVID, that we stop everything, we stop most of the activities, because, for example, the kids were still at school today in Paris. They closed only 200 schools out of more than 60,000 schools that we have in France. So this is not the right thing to do, because it's a health issue.
The French president has promised, Alexandre Florentin, that there would be 40,000 schools in France that would be renovated. Government says they're on pace to do it, but they've only done 5,000, I believe, so far. What's it been like in the Paris area on that score? How hot are the schools?
So I don't listen anymore to the promises from our president, because he made so many of them. I can't recall all of them. In Paris, we have, by the end of the year, we will have one third of our schools, schoolyards refurbished, so that it's more adapted to our hotter climate. We are taking out bitumen, putting more trees, more vegetation, changing the color of the schoolyard, allowing different sort of plays and rather than just having bitumen and a basketball, you know, this, it already changed. It's already one third. It's just one third. We still have a lot to do.
I was going to ask you, is it all the schools? Because I know that in France, it's the municipalities that pay for the primary schools, the region that pays for the middle schools, and the state that pays for the high schools.
Yeah, this one third number that I gave is for Paris, because we invested. We are a rich city, so we could also do that. And also, we did not discover heat waves with this one. So this is something that we've prepared for the last at least 10 or 15 years. It's a long-term run. In other schools in France, you either have lack of understanding from politicians or lack of means. And this is where the state should play a role, so that because the promise of the French Republic is that every school will have access to the same knowledge. And right now, they do not have access to the same learning conditions.
All right. Is it easily done or not, Martin Duplantier, keeping schools cooler?
Well, that requires quite a lot of work, to be honest. We're talking about low-tech techniques, low-tech solutions, as we mentioned about the courtyards and about the greenery and the green canopy. But we should also mention the fact that cities like Paris, for example, have a cold loop going through the central business district. That could also link probably the schools. Because I'm working a lot on schools in Ukraine for another kind of reason and another kind of crisis, we discovered that underground spaces are also very resilient compared to the climate change. And that's also a source of economy and of fresh air for these buildings. So one, I would say the shells, that means insulation and lighter colors. Two, greenery on these spaces and on the courtyards. And then three, how can we be actively refreshing the air in these spaces? And they are, let's say, carbon-free solutions, such as geothermal energy, or as we said, in like the cold loop in Paris.
Yeah, so I want to get back to that concept of the cold loop. But first, let's talk about the reality this Tuesday. You know, in the Netflix series, Emily in Paris, the aspiring young heroine lives in a top-floor maid's quarter made in Hollywood, it seems. Reality not as rosy for those like 22-year-old student Richard, who lives in cramped quarters under the zinc roof of a building that's in 40 degree Celsius heat outside. But under that zinc, it feels hotter.
This is zinc. This is what we have on top of our apartment. So here it's burning. It's 72 degrees Celsius, so it's very, very hot. You can see we have an apartment under the roof, so it's just above our heads. It makes it hot in the apartment, and of course very hot out here too.
Now, among the possible suggestions, those of growing vegetation on Parisian rooftops.
What we see here is a roof that has been adapted. It's a roof that's shaded, so it's not going to overheat. It's not going to contribute so much in the urban heat island effect, and it's not going to conduct so much heat inside the buildings where it creates discomfort for the inhabitants. It's also a roof that welcomes green spaces that are going to do water retention and increase biodiversity.
Thierry Brosse, Does that an idea that excites you there?
Well, I think all ideas are good. I mean, we are in front of a climate emergency and we need to adapt. But I think that discarding technology is not the right way. I mean, air conditioning should be also available for everybody. And I differ with one element. I mean, remember, in France, we have one of the decarbonized electricity in the world, and we have plenty of it. And so air conditioning doesn't emit so much CO2. At the end of the day. So again, I think we are in this emergency, and it's all of the above, I would say, somebody else in Washington, D.C. You need to take all of the above, so you need to take all the technology, and discarding one is the wrong way to do politics.
All right, let's talk about this, because the far-right leader Marine Le Pen announced her party's drive to install air conditioning in all the public buildings. She put out a statement over the social medium formerly known as Twitter, where she says, "I think of all the workers suffocating in buildings without AC because leaders have decided that the French should suffer from the heat while they, of course, enjoy air-conditioned cars in office. With the so-called French elites, sobriety is always reserved for the middle and working classes." Now, for all the worry about data centers to power artificial intelligence computing, there was an alarm bell raised by the Paris-based International Energy Agency. It seems to contradict the far right. It sees a far bigger demand from air conditioning than it does from the computing facilities. 7% of energy demand right now for air conditioning, which the IEA expects to double by the year 2050. While countries like India get equipped, experts and policymakers warn of a vicious cycle that will heat the planet even more.
When you cool a room, you need heat to generate the cold, so you're necessarily heating another space. And you know that in housing, particularly when it's vertical and mineral housing, without trees or prairies, the urban heat island effect will boost by 4, 5, up to 8 degrees the feeling of increased temperature.
Yamina Saeb, your thoughts, and your thoughts on what Thierry Brousse has said.
So our need is on cooling. We need cool space. We need comfortable space to live, to move, etc. It's not an air conditioning need. To address the cooling need, there are different options. Air conditioning is one of them. It is the extreme part of it. And in air conditioning, you have different options. So, for example, in Paris, we have this cooled loop that is only in the northwest part of the city. This is something that should be extended everywhere. These kind of solutions, it uses the water, because if it's groundwater, then you don't have emissions related to that. In air conditioning, you have different type of air conditioning. The most sold ones are what we call air-to-air air conditioner. This is what she was explaining. So air-to-air, this means that your air conditioner that is cooling you here is connected to the air that is outside. So when it is 45 degrees, in the case of the air conditioners sold in Europe, they are designed to work for 35 degrees of outside temperature. So this means that today the air conditioners that are running in Europe, their performance is lower because the external temperature is higher. This is the worst case scenario for cooling our buildings, because this requires high energy demand and electricity demand, and it emits also gases that are beyond carbon, what you have, because everyone talks about decarbonized electricity. You do have emissions related to refrigerant that are within the air conditioning system. The good solution is to use water-ground solutions. Water-ground solutions that, instead of using the external air to cool or to heat, we can use it reversible, you would use the water. And in Paris, we could do that. The question is why it's not done. And in this case, you will be able to cool Paris. You will not have emissions related to air conditioning. You will have an increase of electricity consumption. But this electricity consumption, this increase in electricity consumption, is something that we need to consider, because cooling is a health issue.
Before I
not
turn
luxury,
back,
not luxury.
Sorry. Before I turn back to the architect in this conversation, Thierry Bros, you agree with that?
Not completely. I mean, I agree. I mean, it's a heat pump, so it works on both ways. I mean, today the efficiency of those are very good at minus temperature to plus temperatures. I think we operate them in Norway to warm houses, so it works both ways. First element. Second element. Yes, perhaps the water would work, but if it takes 20 years for the town hall to bring you the cold water to your place, there is a question of people want some solution now. Global warming is not something that we are discovering today. It has been there for many, many years. We know that France is now above 1.5 degrees C, and we know that France is heating faster than the rest of the planet.
All right. Martin Duplantier, you helped design the Athletes' Village for the Olympics. And there you did not at the level of the water loop, which we'll describe again in further detail in a moment, but on a smaller scale, a system where you have the water running through the pipes, and the theory was that they heat the building more in the winter and cools it more in the summer. Now that the Olympics have come and gone, is it working, the old Athletes' Village?
That's a very good question. I'm not in Paris to check it, or in Saint-Ouen to make sure that works, but we do not have bad feedbacks from them. I think today the we have all the techniques to adapt our cities to this urban heat effect that will come over and over. We know that there's a lot of investment, private investment and public investment to be done. I think the route is quite clear. Now we just have to get together and look not only at the short-term solutions, but on the mid and long-term ones. And that's where actually the political decisions lie, and we see that brings a lot of debate. And I would also like to raise a cultural debate. When we look at Paris or at Venice or at Milano, which is one of the most critical cities in Europe as well, facing this heat effect, we're talking about heritage. We're talking about buildings that are protected. And
landmarks.
We have to adapt as well our regulations on that. You know, the roofs that we've seen in zinc, they need to be covered by greenery. They need to be, we need to use textile architecture. We need to actually use all the solutions that the Mediterranean has already set over centuries.
How expensive is it to... In the case of those buildings in the old Athletes' Village, to install more pipes, to be able to run, what is it, the water from showers, for instance, to help keep the building warm in the winter and cooler in the summer?
Well, it's hard to say. When we're considering new buildings, then it's easy and not so expensive to integrate. When we're talking about renovation and about rehabilitation of older buildings, then that requires more work. And I think today's challenge is really to adapt the existing, to reduce the new constructions, because I mean there's also the carbon linked strategy, and we have a lot of empty spaces in Paris, all of these empty offices around the city, and we need to renovate them, and that's the critical thing. Every let's say era of architecture has its own slabs, has its own ways of tectonics, so there's no one solution for all. Unfortunately, that requires a lot of work from all parts as well, from the engineering and from the architects' parts.
Alexandre Florentin, you heard Martin Duplantier say it. You know, it's easy if you're building something new. It's much harder when you have, in the central district of Paris, lots of buildings from the 17th century.
And I totally agree. This is going to be... a new Haussmannian revolution that we need right here and now. And I agree as well that our citizens who do not understand why the school closed from one day to another, they are willing to know why was it not anticipated while We knew it from almost 2 months ago that there was going to be heat waves in this period. So there's a lack of anticipation, a lack of reaction. So that's why we were in crisis mode in the last few days. In crisis mode, AC is not going to solve the problem. We need to have this discussion about which technology to use, where, what techniques, how to change our designs, our architectural designs, how to save our patrimoine that we love so much in Paris. And while we were in crisis mode, the question was, who are the most vulnerable person and how to help them have access to fresher places? And those fresher places in Paris, we have many of them. We have the churches that are quite empty right now. We could open them up 24 hours for believers, non-believers. We could have given a wider access to museums because they are using one of the very low carbon technology that you mentioned before. We could have used the parks. That's the case because this is controlled by the city. We opened them up 24 hours. And you have so many also private buildings who use AC. You could have opened up the halls.
But you're going to have more and more of these incidents. Are you going to send people, like right now in Spain, we've had two heat waves in a row. They've had just one continuous one.
Mm-hmm.
You can't send people to the church or the park.
No, of course. That's why we need to talk both on about crisis mode right now, yeah. About this summer and school are not going to be a problem from next week on because they are going to be closed. So we need to work on the other vulnerable persons, for example, the people living in the streets right now. Do you imagine living in the streets with those temperatures? So that should be the focus for this summer. And we can have the discussion about the longer term solutions that like we are having right now.
Yeah. Just one point. There will be a cooling need. That's for sure, because mm-hmm. the planet is warming and Europe is warming. The question is, so far we knew, policymakers knew at least for 20 years because we had the heat wave. Oh. We had the heat wave in 2003. Oh. So since 2003, they knew that we are going to have more heat waves. However, they have not done enough, or from my perspective, they have done nothing. They have done just a bit of bricolage from time to time. That's all what they have done. Because this means 22 years. Mm. In 22 years, it was possible to adapt, to transform our cities. So when it comes to renovation, what bothers me is that in this last two decades, this is where we had the highest, most important renovation programs for buildings. When we renovate buildings, we do not take into account the cooling needs. Mm-hmm. So all the buildings that are renovated, we could have already, these buildings, they should have been all connected to the loop, to the cooling loop in Paris. And we should have had, we still think our buildings, our design, our use of our buildings only for winter time. We are wired only for winter time, while actually the world has changed, the planet has changed. And one last point about architect, etc. This period is the period for innovation, because when you look at the construction industry, they did not the history of innovation in the construction industry, and they put them all together, including architects, etc. And I am a building engineer, that's why I put myself in this bubble. So the only period where there has been innovation, real innovation, was after the Second War, when Europe was destroyed and they had to build all the buildings, the ugly buildings that we have. This is where the period where they innovated. And then after that, there has been no innovation. When you look at investment in innovation, in research and development in the construction industry, it's one of the lowest investment in research and development. So this period is a period for innovation, especially for Europe, for countries where the construction of new square meters is lower, because you mentioned India, and we come back to developing countries. But architects are not trained, or engineers are not trained to innovate. They are trained only to do new buildings, exactly the same design. They just make few modifications and that's it, without taking into account that the planet is warm. Can you imagine that even today, to calculate your energy needs, they do consider the temperature for the last 2 decades? We know that in the future, the temperature that we will have will be different from the last two decades. But we still consider the same methodologies to do that in our countries. Regarding developing countries, regarding developing countries, one last point. In developing countries, the building challenge is different. In our countries, it's about renovating the existing ones, and that's why we need to innovate. In developing countries, the challenge is to build new square meters. There is a huge need for building billions of square meters in developing countries. The question is, are we going to continue to impose through development aid in these countries to build their buildings in the way we did build after the Second War? Because if this is what we do. So, for example, when you see buildings still we do with glazing, and even here in Paris we see glazing, we see the material that is used is no longer the material that
no longer adapted to the rising temperature.
So we are creating, we are amplifying the construction industry altogether. Thierry, is amplifying the problem.
Thierry Brosse, Yamina Saeb mentioning there 2003, which was a major trauma for France. It was a big summer heat wave. 15,000 people died, and
nothing has been done. No, nothing has been done. And again, I think there is another crisis, which was the Ukrainian starting of the war. I mean, at this time, the Commission came out and said, put heat pumps. Yes, good. It was a very good idea, but we should have said to the people that heat pumps works on both sides. They work for the heating and they work for the cooling. We have some dogmatic green ideas that it cannot work on the other side. No, heat pumps are very good. And on top of it, remember, we want to put more solar panels. Solar panels are working exactly at the time where we need them for heat pumps for air conditioning. So I think you have to look at it in a holistic way, not stating this is good because my moral think it's good and this is bad because my moral think it's bad. I mean, we are facing global warming. We need to adapt. We need to understand there will be more cooling, and so therefore air conditioning, heat pumps will help. It's one of the tools, but it has to be on the table.
Let's bring up that water loop concept that's been put forth by practically all our panelists in this conversation. Here in Paris, authorities hoping to double a distribution network that already uses the River Seine's waters to help cool buildings without cranking the AC.
Buildings produce heat. They transfer this heat to a distribution network. It's 110 kilometers long in Paris. This distribution network arrives at the power station. The temperature of this network is 12 degrees. In this power station, the water is lowered to 5 degrees by these large machines, these chillers. It returns to the distribution network to cool the buildings again. The role of the Seine in a power plant like this one is to cool the chillers. There is part that will emit heat, and the Seine will capture this heat and therefore cool the power station.
All right, so these water loop systems, Thierry Brosse, you said nothing's been done since 2003. They're going to double those, by the way.
It's not enough.
I mean, we also had the heat loop. Yeah. And again, how many people are connected to the heat loop? Yeah. I mean, the question is, if you're facing an emergency, are you going to wait for the town hall to provide you an answer, or are you going to buy it on shelf?
Alexandre Florentin?
What's the question?
The question is to answer what Thierry Brosse just said, how do you get this, how do you make this available to more of the general public faster?
We do have to work on a different time scale. I mean, you've noticed that I'm among the younger politicians, we are paying for the not total. I do not agree that nothing has been done. I think we have to be very clear on that, and I'm very critical with what has not been done, but some stuff have been done. Regarding this technology that we have here, its initial business model was to provide cooling for luxury hotels, business centers, and museums, because you also had, geographically speaking, those were the sort of buildings which were closer to the Seine River. Now the question is, because there is no technology that do not have a temperature limit. Okay, all cooling technology that we have a maximum temperature of good functioning. This is the case also for this loop, because if we keep on changing climate, the Seine River is going to be hotter. There will be less water in the Seine River. So the question is, how are we going to use, for which case, for which use are we going to use this loop? This is why for the next 20 years, the focus is going to be connecting this loop to school, to hospitals, because those are critical points for our society to work. And like if tomorrow in an emergency, we use luxury hostel to house people from Saint-Saint-Denis or from neighbors in Paris who are under 45, 48 degrees, which is above the working temperature from AC that you can buy on the shelf. That's a problematic. I agree we need to work on reversible heat pumps, but this is not accessible to poorest people right now. The poorest people, when they can buy it, they will buy on the shelf AC that are very low, have a very low efficiency. So this is like putting a. Of course, some are buying. We can't be hypocrites. We are not here. We are telling that people are buying it. We need to help these people have buying the good stuff and the good stuff for the right use, because this is not the same thing if you're buying an AC, for example, for a shop that sells stuff like goods like clothes that are not perishable during heat waves. Okay, I think this is questionable, which is not the case for schools, for example, because this is a health issue.
Yeah, just one point. About the warming planet, what is going to happen anyway is that the society will be organized differently. So regarding the schools, that's why I said they should have decided to close the schools earlier. So the way the schools, the way the society is organized is going to be different. Because if the schools, it is unlikely
that... parents work and it's difficult for them to drop their kids off.
This means that you need to modify as well the labor law. This is what it means. That if you are a parent and the school is closed, this means that you can take days off and you are paid for your days off as well. You see, why we need to do that? Because when you have 30 kids in the classrooms today, in the primary schools, you have 30 kids per classroom. 30 kids, what we have is the latent heat. So 30 kids in space, even if you open the windows in these schools, the temperature will be anyway high. And they are all increasing the temperature, in contributing to the increase of the temperature. It's different than if you have two, or even if you have a family of five kids in an apartment, then the health impact will be the health risk will be lower. Of course, this means that parents will have to stay home, and this means that we need to revise the labor law, the labor relationships. And for example, when I was coming here, I saw several people working in the street doing renovation work. It is just crazy that you have people under 40 degrees working.
People are dying because of that.
I know.
Thierry Brosse, it is a problem. We heard construction workers on Monday saying how, they have a right under French labor law. They already have a right to not show up, but they don't dare do it because they know that that's a ticket to not getting the job next time.
Yes, but on school, I mean, closing down school as we've done via COVID was not a great success. I mean, we know that the level of the French people are declining very, very fast. So, I mean, closing schools is, I think, the opposite of what should be done. We should have schools that are
situation, we don't have these schools.
Yeah, but it's been 10 years or 20 years, we should have thought of this.
Yeah, but the reality check is that our schools in France are not adapted to those heat waves. So in Paris, the decision was to keep the school open because we consider that we've done part of the work, not 100% of the work, but we've done part of the work, so there would be less social and health issue to keep the kids there, even if it's hot, because we don't know in which condition they would be at home. That's for Paris. I want to check the temperature in schools in Saint-Saint-Denis, in their apartment, and AC...
This is in the working-class northern suburbs of Paris.
Yes, yeah. Thank you. AC is just one very, very, very tiny discussion about the problem. If we want to keep the same society in a different climate, we are going to fail. That's what was shown by the Transpartisan mission that I presided called Paris at 50 degrees, which looked very closely about all the problems that are linked to each other's. For example, let's say we decide now, we do all agree that we need to cool our public transport. So it's more enjoyable, less sufferable, let's say, to be inside those metro, like you showed in your reportage. This is not going to change the fact that the rails are made out of steel, and they were not...
But there are different cooling systems for the metro. So yeah, they're not all air-conditioned. Some of other kinds of cooling systems.
The metro is unsufferable because of what's happening inside the where you are. But the machinery is not designed for higher temperatures. Yeah. The rails are going to be distorted. The electricity network that you need for a railway is not designed for that. And so AC is part of the discussion, but I would say it is 1% of the discussion, and we will not be able to keep the same society in a different climate.
That's why I keep saying it's an organizing principle of the society that is changing. Our societies were organized around the world where the temperature was around 20 degrees in June, and this is over. This time is over. What is missing is to have policymakers acknowledging that this time is over and to prepare for different organization of the society. And this means it goes also to infrastructure, but
perhaps,
also to organizing schools, etc.
Energy differences. It is warm in the sea right now in the Mediterranean. It was 28 degrees on Monday in the Garonne River in the southwest of France, enough to shut the Golfech nuclear power plant. Warming rivers, which are enough to raise alarm bells. Elsewhere in France, most of the nuclear power plants are located next to rivers or next to the sea. Thierry Brosse, nuclear power, the French see it as a silver bullet, but it's not in case when there's a heat wave, is it?
No, it's not. But it's, again, part of the solution. I mean, we have those solar panels, and those solar panels are going to help us. And so this is perhaps the only place where solar panels makes maximum sense. It's to have them and to be able to balance when a nuclear plant has been offline. But remember, we are net exporter of electricity. We are producing a lot, and we have one of the cleanest on the planet. So it's not a question about electricity. It's a question about how we want to design the cooling of our spaces. And yes, I agree with you. It's a change in society. Where I disagree with the others is I don't think it should be implemented by policies that have a dogmatic view. It should also be up to the people that can have the solutions, that can have the choices. That's the difference that I have. Hence why I'm saying all of the above. So you need to consider all the technologies and leave the people. The state can select the one that they believe is good for their for the
okay. So so here's a question for you then, Thierry. Because of the high temperatures, it's also created a spike in pollution. Paris restricting access to the capital for those who have polluting cars, older models, combustion engine models. Now, that punishes a lot of times the poorer people. But are you for or against this measure?
This measure...
Restricting access when the temperature goes too high.
My field is energy, so I'm outside this measure. But I think this measure, we know it ahead. It's not something that has been come as an emergency. We know that when there are heat wave, there will be this pollution. I mean, this is something that has been known, and the Paris Town Hall has decided to put this. It's not up to me to decide if it's good or bad. What I'm saying is when we are looking at cooling spaces, we need to look at all the solution. And again, in the last 20 years, perhaps not nothing has been done, but let's say not enough has been done. I think we can agree
on that.
We can agree on this one.
Now, there's the final problem, not the final problem, but one final problem for us because we're running short on time, and that is the money. For all of this, there is this state subsidy that individuals and companies can have, which is called my bonus renovate,
my prime rénov'
in French. Yeah. It's been put on pause for the summer for an audit, and that's also because France has a huge budget deficit right now.
And we have a government which is completely. One day they say we are going to cut this bonus for refurbishing your house or your buildings, and the next day they are complaining that we have a heat
wave.
But
isn't that all politicians? You have a situation where you had two summers in a row where the temperature in Paris, yes, there were a couple of heat waves, but it wasn't like three summers ago when it was sweltering.
I do not represent the syndicate of all politicians.
No, but I'm just saying, I'm it starts to fade from memory. No, but it starts to fade from memory. And we see in the National Assembly some of the green legislation being rolled back right now.
Yeah, there's an attack. They are using a technique called flooding the zone. You know, they are like every day there is a bomb against environmental measures.
Is it a tactic or is it just that they think that people have a short memory and they?
It's a tactic.
And it's
because when you are fighting climate change, when you are fighting climate change, you are trying to change the statu quo, because you cannot have, even with all the cleanest energy in the world, you cannot have a low carbon society with this the other parameters not changing. So this is a fight. People who are earning a lot of money from the oil industry, for example, or from the chemical industry, they are against those regulations. So
far left also is against the low emission zones. They said it punishes the poor.
Yeah, exactly, for a different reason. And that was the case, for example, that where we knew that this measure was a good measure for people living around our peripheric, our ring.
In the suburbs around Paris.
Yeah. So this was also a social measure for them. And we would need to help the people, the poorest people who have older car, to be able to change. And there was a lack of continuity in policy making. That's obvious. Yeah.
Denis Saeb, we're almost out of time. Go ahead.
Yeah. So the budget deficit that we have is not due to the good investment for the future. It's due to all the taxes that the government decided, Emmanuel Macron decided to not consider for the richest ones. This is one of the drivers of this. So the argument of the budget deficit is a wrong argument, because the question today is how do we live together in a warmed planet and an aging population. We did not talk about it, but it is an issue with the aging population. And the point is, in the examples that you have given and why the extreme right is jumping on them, is that we had several laws that are that consider only the environmental impact but do not consider the societal impact. It's not possible to design environmental policies that are not socially just. And that's why the transition.
Just we're out of time.
Yeah, the transition. It's either a just transition or there is no transition at all.
And I like to finish saying, well, we've done a transition on CO2. We've put a price on CO2. They've been called greenflation.
That's a wrong instrument.
So everybody is paying more.
All right. We'll have to have everyone back for more. Unfortunately, we're out of time. Thierry Bros, I want to thank you. I want to thank Yamin Saeb. I want to thank as well Alexandre Florentin for being with us. And thank you for being with us here. Martin Duplantier was with us from Ukraine. Thank you for joining us here in the France 24 debate.